If Simon had carried on reading in Luke chapter 15, we'd have discovered that the entire chapter consists of three parables told by the Lord Jesus. He tells three stories. The first about a lost sheep, the second about a lost coin, and the third one about a lost son. There are some details which are unique in each of those stories, but the general thrust and message is the same. And Jesus tells those three parables in response to a familiar accusation that's being brought against him by the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes. The accusation against Jesus is seen in verse 2 of Luke 15, that this man Jesus receives and eats with sinners. The scribes and Pharisees were basically proud religious snobs. They thought they were a cut above everyone else. And they thought that because of the way that they kept to a very strict regime of intricate law-keeping. And in doing so, they believed they'd elevated themselves above everybody else. But theirs was a cold, dead religion of self-righteous works, which simply swelled their hearts with pride. They had no heart for God. They had no love for God. They had no heart or love for the people. They'd read their Old Testament scriptures and completely missed the point. And to expose how utterly wrong they were, well, Jesus is constantly doing that, but here in Luke 15, he tells not one, not two, but three lost and found stories so that they cannot be in any doubt about what it is he's saying. Now, the parables do actually contain a message of rebuke and correction towards those particular men, but at the same time, these parables present a message for us all as they reveal a truth about each one of us. And they force us to consider this man, Jesus, who's being accused by these men. Their accusation is that he's a friend of sinners. And they bring that accusation against him because they think he ought not to be having anything to do with such people. But you see, Jesus has everything to do with sinners. That's why he came into the world, to seek out and to save the lost. And that's what these parables are all about. He uses the very words, seeking and saving the lost, a few chapters later, following his encounter with a tax collector, Zacchaeus. That's in chapter 19. The problem with the scribes and Pharisees is that they can't see their sin problem. They actually don't think they have one because of all of these works that they do. And they're completely blind to the truths that Jesus is teaching. And so Jesus illustrates it here by means of these three parables. And this morning, we're just going to look at the first of them, the parable of the lost sheep. A man who has 100 sheep and loses one, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one until he finds it. What does he do once he's found it? He puts it on his shoulders and brings it home, rejoicing. And he calls all his friends and neighbors, "Rejoice with me. I found the sheep that was lost." And then Jesus says this, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now he's speaking there. Who are the 99? Well, that's the scribes and Pharisees who think they're already okay and that they don't need this man Jesus. The parable's just four verses long. It's 101 words. There's no greater short story than this one. I want to talk to you briefly about three things that we learn from this. Here's the first, the lost wandering sheep. Now, let me say something from the outset. This isn't just a cute Shaun the Sheep story. There's much, much more to it than that. There's a deeply serious cutting edge to this story, and Jesus makes that clear by what he says at the end in verse 7. The sheep that's been found is a picture of a sinner who repents, says Jesus. Therefore, we can safely say that the lost sheep before it is found represents an unrepentant sinner. And the words of Jesus in verse 7 mean that we can't read this parable in any other way. What he says it means is what it means. So we're presented with this picture of a lost sheep. It's strayed from the flock. It's left that place of provision and protection under the care of the shepherd. Now, this imagery of sheep and shepherd is used elsewhere in the Bible. I'll mention a couple of examples, and the first one I want to mention is actually in the Old Testament, and it's found in the prophecy of Isaiah in a well-known chapter. It's chapter 53. It's a chapter in which Isaiah, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, vividly foretells the suffering and the death of Christ in the place of sinners. He says this, he, and it's foretelling what Christ will do. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And Isaiah is speaking of Jesus dying on the cross, bearing the punishment for sins. The sins are ours. The punishment should be ours too. But he took it in the place of sinners as our Saviour through his death on the cross. Now, listen to what Isaiah says next. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone, no exception, to his own way. The Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We've all gone astray like lost sheep. And this marries up perfectly with what Jesus is teaching in his parable. This is part of the wonder of the Bible. We see this great harmony all across the Word of God. Now, the wandering sheep in the parable, how did it come to be lost if it represents an unrepentant sinner? Was it just careless? Was it bad luck? No, Jesus says it pictures an unrepentant sinner, and Isaiah teaches that yes, the sheep went astray, but it went astray because it turned to its own way. The sheep is responsible for its own lostness. It turned to its own way. It chose to leave the flock. It chose to defy the shepherd. It chose to strike out on its own. It chose not to live anymore under the shepherd's direction and care. That's what the Bible teaches about lost sheep. And this is a picture of each of us before God, you see. Everyone, says God's word, everyone. We were created by him to know and love him, to walk with him, to walk in his ways. We had that picture of Adam and Eve in the garden before they sinned. That's how God created all of us to be. To live our lives under his direction, to know his love, to know God's care, God's provision, like a wonderful, wise, loving, faithful shepherd over us. But every one of us has shaken that off in rebellion, gone our own way. No, not his way, my way. I'm the captain of my soul. I decide all things for myself. I decide what to choose, what to love, what is right, what is truth. Me. You're a lost, wandering sheep. That's what they look like. And I know in every one of you, there are times in your life when you feel that lostness. The key is understanding where it is that you actually belong. And where you actually belong is back in the flock with the shepherd. And unless and until you do return like a lost sheep, you're in great peril. There's another link between those words from Isaiah 53 and what Jesus says in Luke 15. Isaiah speaks about our going astray and our turning our own way. And then immediately he speaks of our iniquity. That's another word for sin. And Jesus says that the lost sheep in this little story represents an unrepentant sinner. The link is unmissable. Our rebellion against God, it's so grievous to him. Why? Because we've turned our backs on him. We've rejected him as God. And we think and say and do things which go right against all that he created us to be. So much so that our sinfulness brings this great penalty upon us. We're guilty of great sinfulness before this holy God of heaven. And God has declared that our sins incur a very severe penalty. Death and hell awaits all of us. Perfect justice awaits guilty sinners. The great thing about the Bible is that it doesn't leave the message there. It doesn't end there. It goes on. The Bible contains this wonderful good news. Yes, God is filled with fury against us in our sins. But he's also a God of unbelievable mercy and love and grace. And Jesus came into the world, sent by God the Father, to seek out and save lost sheep. Do you know this morning that you are saved? That you've been found and are safe now in Christ? So let's think secondly about the loving, searching shepherd. Now, Jesus doesn't state it expressly in the parable in Luke chapter 15, but he is the shepherd. Jesus used this picture of shepherd and sheep elsewhere. We'll come to it in a moment. We see from the parable that just one lost sheep is enough to cause the shepherd to rise up and seek it out. Just one is enough. And the shepherd rises to go and find it. The shepherd has to go where the sheep has gone, you see. Do you see that? The shepherd has to go where the sheep has gone in order to save it. And that's precisely what Jesus has done. He's come into this world to seek out and save lost sheep. And as we've already seen in Isaiah, what lay at the heart of that was laying down his own life as a substitute for sinners. It's in one of the other gospel records, the Gospel of John, where Jesus very powerfully and movingly uses this imagery of sheep and shepherd to speak of himself and those he came to save. I'll quote a few verses. Let me just say that I'd encourage you to actually read the whole of John chapter 10 for yourself sometime. It's very powerful. Perhaps you've never done that. Maybe you'd like to. On the table at the back, you'll find a copy of John's Gospel. I've even put a little marker in. Chapter 10, The Good Shepherd. Why not take it and read it? You've never read it before. If you take the whole gospel, why not read the whole thing? They're on the table at the back. Listen to more words of Jesus. Jesus said to them again, "Assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. I," says Jesus, "am the good shepherd. I know my sheep." Well, you need to if you're going to go and find them and save them, don't you? "I know my sheep and am known by them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again," because he rose again the third day. "I've received this from my Father." The Apostle Paul, in one of his New Testament letters, says that the love of God is most clearly demonstrated in the fact that while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. As Isaiah said, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and we're healed because of his stripes." We can be forgiven. We can be rescued from our sin. We can be saved from the condemnation that we deserve. We can be restored to a proper standing before God. This is what Jesus came to do. Remember the scribes and Pharisees? This is what they just could not and would not accept or understand. Firstly, that Jesus had come into the world to save sinners. And second, that they were sinners in needing of salvation just as much as anyone else. What is a Christian? Well, to start with, a Christian is someone who realizes that they are a lost sheep who needs to be saved and turns to the Good Shepherd to save them. To be saved, you need a Savior, and that's Jesus. And the sheep that's found is being pictured as carried home on the shoulders of the shepherd. So let's think finally about the lost sheep found. The lost sheep found. I want you to note, first of all, the sheep didn't find its own way back, because lost sheep can't. The shepherd had to go and find it. The shepherd had to bring it back. This is really important. Lost sheep do not find themselves. They do not save themselves. They do not find their own way back to God. It's impossible. No man or woman has ever got themselves back to God. That's what the scribes and Pharisees think they have done, but they are so very, very wrong. God, in the person of the Lord Jesus, seeks out his sheep and finds them, takes hold of them, and brings them home. But what about this repentant sinner bit in verse 7? How does that fit with the sheep being saved? And how does that apply to me today? Well, it's like this. Jesus is still in the business of seeking lost sheep. Every Christian that's here this morning is a lost sheep found and rescued and saved. And he still does it. He does it through the message of the gospel. Just as you've been listening to it this morning, or maybe read it for yourself in the Bible, or perhaps a family member at home, or a friend or colleague at work has told you about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he came to do in this world and who he is and all about his death on the cross. And that to be saved, we must repent of our sins, and that we need to believe on Jesus and trust in him as the one who died in the sinner's place. I read from John chapter 10 a few moments ago. That's where Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. A little further on in that same chapter, listen to what Jesus says again. "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Once this saving work is done, it's done. It's done. And Christ's sheep hear his voice today, you know. Not with their physical ears, but in the soul. Are you someone who hears this message and something is convicting you and convincing you that it is true? That's because his sheep hear his voice. And Jesus continues to seek and save lost sheep. Now many will prove themselves not to be Christ's sheep because they remain firmly against these truths. And they reject Christ out of hand. I would urge you to consider him this morning. And God the Father has promised that every one of Christ's lost sheep will be found, never to be lost again. As men and women and boys and girls listen to this message of salvation, a remarkable work of God's power and grace occurs in the heart and in the soul. As lost sheep hear not the voice of a preacher, not the voice of a Sunday school teacher, or a parent, or a neighbor, or a colleague at work, they hear the very voice of the shepherd himself deep in their soul, and they respond. And their response is to confess that they are the sinner that the Bible says they are. And they see in Jesus the only Savior who died in their place on the cross. And they repent of their sin. And they follow him. And then they discover that they're on his shoulders as he carries them home rejoicing. Why do some turn to Christ when so many don't? Because Christ has come to them before they turn to him. He has sought them out and laid hold of them. The Good Shepherd has rescued another of his sheep. It's a glorious work of God's grace, and all of heaven rejoices at each one who comes to saving faith in Christ. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, we read these words: "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord. What does the Lord delight in? The Lord delights in the Son, Jesus, carrying home rescued sheep. Oh, that you would turn and live. God is a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of perfect justice. And sin has to be punished. And the wages of sin is death. But God's heart toward you is that you would turn from your sin to Christ and live. And God delights still. and rejoices in saving lost sinners. Will you hear his voice and be saved?